In the coastal town of Crosby, Maine, ordinary lives conceal extraordinary pain. Bob Burgess, a lawyer who returned from New York 15 years ago, walks regularly with famous writer Lucy Barton along the frozen river. During these walks, they reveal their deepest fears to each other. "The reason I used to drink too much is because I'm terrified. I'm always terrified," Bob confesses, explaining his nightly wine consumption and smoking habit. Lucy responds with understanding, creating connection through shared emotional honesty. The pandemic has left its mark on everyone. Housing prices have skyrocketed, forcing longtime residents like Charlene Bibber to sell their homes. Despite having money from the sale, she realizes it won't sustain her for long in the changing economy. Her story represents the growing divide in small towns across America. Winter brings a sense of compression, of being squeezed, for Bob, whose heart flickers with anxiety due to both the season and the state of the world. Christmas decorations appear early, but for Bob, the holidays bring sadness stemming from a childhood memory when he innocently told his widowed mother he didn't like Christmas, causing her to cry, a thumbprint pressed deeply into his soul of real sorrow and regret. Isn't this the human condition? We walk through life carrying invisible burdens while presenting composed exteriors to the world. The discovery of Gloria Beach's decomposed body in a quarry pool becomes Bob's central mystery. The 86-year-old had disappeared from the home she shared with her son Matthew, and the investigation reveals decades of festering family trauma. Gloria's journals tell her story. Born in rural Maine, she had a baby at 16 after apparent abuse by an uncle. By 17, she lived in a motel, working the front desk while sexually pleasing the owner for lodging. Walter Beach married her after just 4 weeks. In Shirley Falls, Gloria gained weight, grew unhappy, and worked in a school cafeteria where students called her Beach Ball. Bob's interviews with Matthew reveal a talented painter who creates beautiful pregnant women that few have seen. When Bob meets Diana Beach, Matt's well-dressed sister who appears younger than her age, she immediately asks if Matt will be arrested and mentions having memory lapses she dismisses as unimportant. The truth eventually surfaces. Diana committed suicide after becoming the prime suspect. Matt reveals their father sexually abused Diana since childhood, while Gloria did nothing. Diana was also raped near the same quarry where their mother's body was found, and Gloria had callously called her a whore. Throughout the novel emerges the concept of sin eaters, people who unconsciously absorb others' pain and guilt. Lucy identifies Bob as one during their walks. "You're a sin eater, someone who unconsciously takes on others' sins." This concept becomes central to understanding Bob's character. Bob's role as a sin eater manifests in his legal career defending the accused and in his personal relationships. After Diana's suicide, he stays with the devastated Matt Beach for 5 days, sleeping in Gloria's bed and comforting Matt through his gasping sobs of a child. Bob paints over blood spatters and safeguards Matt's paintings when he threatens to destroy them. The novel explores whether carrying others' burdens is strength or weakness. Sin eaters provide essential compassion where others might turn away, though at personal cost. Bob experiences physical distress from the emotional weight. What makes sin eaters remarkable is their ability to hold space for others' darkest truths without judgment, creating safe harbors for confession and acceptance. In our divided world, they remind us of our shared humanity and fallibility. "We live on shifting sand," Lucy tells Bob during one of their walks, "and we pretend we don't." This metaphor captures the novel's portrayal of marriages, relationships in constant flux while partners strive for stability amid uncertainty. Bob and Margaret's marriage demonstrates this tension. When Margaret returns late from delivering a sermon, Bob's anger stems from childhood abandonment wounds. Though they reconcile after an argument about gaslighting, an underlying sadness persists. Pam's marriage to Ted reveals how wealth can't shield relationships from betrayal. her discovery of Ted's affair with her friend Lydia devastates her. Later, during apocalyptic orange skies from forest fires, Ted appears at her apartment disheveled, admitting he misses her. Jim and Helen's marriage ends with her death from cancer, thrusting Jim into an entirely new country of silence. Jim reads about grief. Because his wife had died in summer, he waited for winter, and when it came, he saw that it made no difference. These portrayals show how partners can love deeply yet fail to meet each other's needs. At the heart of the novel lies the profound connection between Bob and Lucy. Their weekly walks create a space for sharing their deepest fears and truths. Their relationship evolves beyond friendship when Bob realizes he loves Lucy, a realization that overwhelms him as he sees her waiting by the wooden fence. Their bond thrives on mutual understanding rather than romantic gestures. When Bob confesses his terror, Lucy responds with empathy. When Lucy shares her fear of nightfall, Bob listens attentively. They discuss aging, children, and envy with remarkable honesty. Unlike Bob's marriages, his connection with Lucy allows him to be authentic. "You give me a break from life," Bob tells her, to which she responds, "A break from your sin eating." Yet their connection remains unconsummated. Jim warns that acting on these feelings would destroy Bob's world. Margaret will probably die as a result. After an argument about unrecorded lives leads to a 3-week separation, Bob experiences surprising relief while rediscovering intimacy with Margaret. The resolution comes when Lucy agrees to remarry William, later describing to Olive her unconsummated love with Bob as not the saddest story ever told. Lucy explains that love is love in all its forms. How do we create meaning amid constant change and uncertainty? For Bob, meaning emerges through helping others, defending Matt Beach, supporting Jim, listening to Lucy, even while admitting, "I'm always terrified." Lucy questions the significance of unrecorded lives, like her college friend Addie Beal, who died young after struggling with alcoholism. "What's the point of anyone's life?" she asks Olive, reflecting her own quest as a writer, preserving otherwise forgotten lives. In her 90s, Olive finds meaning through friendship with Isabel and storytelling. When questioned about the purpose of her stories, Lucy eventually answers herself. People and the lives they lead. That's the point. Meaning emerges not from grand narratives, but from ordinary human experiences. By the novel's end, characters discover tentative answers. Matt finds purpose through art and a new relationship. Bob, seeing his aging reflection, gives himself a very slight nod of acceptance. Lucy concludes that love is love in all forms. Perhaps most profound is Bob's simple insight to a client: "It's life. It's just called life. On shifting sand, we build our lives day by day, finding meaning not in certainty, but in how we respond to life's inevitable changes."